I by no means am saying this is the answer. I'm saying the fact that we aren't allowed to talk about it says volumes. It means we gotta grab this for ourselves, these conversations. We have to test these unconscious assumptions ourselves. He says the second challenge is to organize a global alliance around this issue. This is more difficult. Although steps are already being taken, global organizations like Tax Justice International, Oxfam GP, Friends of the Earth, Global Witness, and Christian Aid are converging on a new global campaign around the issue of havens and offshore tax evasion. They've been enlisting support for this effort from countries like Norway, Chile, Brazil, Spain, and France. Organizations like UNDP, the World Bank, and even the International Monetary Fund. This is very exciting, he says, but I have to interject. Perhaps he should temper his excitement a bit. As we've been discussing on this program around issues of redefining work and defining happiness, that when power is afraid of something, they leapfrog, they jump to the front of it and try to direct it. That's a key tactic of control. Get to the front and lead them where you want them to go. And again, having those resources is very seductive. Everybody wants to see their power expanded. So it's easy to lie to ourselves about it. Continuing with Henry, but the organizers face one critical problem: the fact that there are serious conflicts of interest among developed and developing countries. The fact is that the United States, the UK, and other developed countries not only lose tax revenue to haven banking, they also profit from it because their own banks are so deeply engaged in it, especially when it involves developing countries. Back, and this is, you know, the hierarchy, tactic, control, again, it's everywhere. That's the nature of the system, which is why we have to move beyond it. Quote, back in April 1986, this author, speaking, Mr. Henry speaking, broke the story that Citibank was actually taking far more capital out of Latin America, no kidding, and other developing countries than it was lending to them, despite its reputation as the largest third world lender. Indeed, the business of helping third world elites decapitalize their own countries, this is that stripping the earth bare part that we don't get to talk about, we the people. We don't get to claim allegiance to the earth officially. We have to do that for ourselves. Helping third world elites decapitalize their own countries, this business had become so large and lucrative that Citibank's private banking group was the bank's single most profitable division. To achieve that feat, Citigroup resorted to skullduggery and the flouting of local laws all over the planet. This included repeatedly sending teams of private bankers undercover to countries like Brazil, Argentina, Venezuela, helping to set up thousands of shell companies and bank accounts in offshore havens, and secretly transferring funds to them, teaching its clients money laundering tricks like misinvoicing and back-to-back loans, designing ways to communicate with clients that kept their financial secrets safe, and overall concealing vast sums of flight capital from third world tax authorities and their competitors, while lobbying Congress to ensure that any foreign capital that arrived in the United States enjoyed near zero taxes and near Swiss secrecy. For a time, the resulting tax breaks and lax banking rules that applied to quote-unquote non-resident aliens from other countries made the United States, in effect, one of the world's largest tax havens. In short, from the 1970s to the 1990s, banks like Citigroup, Bank America, and JP Morgan Chase, and UBS, Credit Suisse, RBS, Baribas, and Barclays, etc., were behaving throughout the third world just as badly as UBS has recently been behaving here. And their very success laid the foundations for the global private haven banking industry with which the IRS is now struggling.